Hey, what's up, Toby? We are to episode 34 of the Process Debt podcast, and we're going to dig right into AI today.
AI. What does that mean in your world?
I don't know. Gen AI.
Generative.
Yeah, it means a lot of things. but what I wanted to talk about today is that AI has done a couple things for us.
Yeah.
In that it is enabled us to increase our inputs.
Yeah, we could everybody can do content creator now.
Yeah, we can create content like we've never been able to before.
Yeah.
It's raised expectations exponentially.
Yes.
On what will be created.
Yeah, if anybody in the workplace hasn't been asked to run it through AI or tried to figure out, am I the only one not using AI? Then we're a little behind the curve right now. Yep.
Yes.
So this expectation to be leaning into it. Yeah.
Yes. And what I realized is this, like over the last couple of weeks, is that I have a bit of AI overwhelm.
Mm. Say more about that. What's that? I mean, because you use it as much as any of my friends do.
Yeah, I use it a lot.
Where's overwhelm coming from? Is it
the ability to create content doesn't necessarily mean that you're more aligned.
Yeah, well.
And so therefore you have higher expectations to do more things. And my challenge has been not necessarily knowing what my output or my outcome should be.
Yeah. And so manifesting is overwhelm for you. Because I love that you use the word overwhelm. I think that I feel that, you know, that word resonates. Monkey on my chest, kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's like an increased pressure to perform.
Yeah.
But not necessarily knowing what the rules of the game are.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's like having a helicopter parent that where the dad was really, really good at baseball, but he was only good to make it to be a high school all-star, but his goal was always to be the college all-star. Wow. And so he knows a lot, and he just puts this pressure on his kid.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what Gen AI has been for me.
This parent with all these expectations, but can offer no guidance, can not explain how to go to the next step. It just can run you through the mechanics.
Yeah, it's just a lot of added pressure.
Yeah.
And it's been a little overwhelming.
Yeah. Are you feeling that, you know, because we talk a lot about process and some of the debt, some of this is old expectations for new ways of doing work. Is how much of this sits just with you? How much of it are you feeling in a process context, working with people upstream and downstream of you? Are they expressing that, or is it mostly the self-imposed overwhelm that high performers often inflict on themselves?
That's interesting. I think the challenge is with AI, you have people when they receive something, okay, they have a higher expectation that it's going to meet their expectations without sharing what their expectations are.
It's interesting. Chris, let me say that back to you. So you think that as a working team, people's expectations have now increased because AI is in the world, mm-hmm, but they're not doing anything different to communicate what it is that they need.
Correct.
AI will magically translate whatever you historically did into something I want.
Yes.
That sounds very Star Trek, like Earl Grey hot kind of order up your magic tea. Right. And but it has done nothing to communicate. How do I land it? How do I?
Well, one of the things that I've thought about recently is that, you know, talking about AI paradox, is that when the internet came, it was providing information.
Right.
And so if you go back to the Guinness Book of World Records and why they started it, it was, you know, from the Guinness company.
The beer company.
The beer company wanted to stop fights, and so they did the Guinness Book of World Records. So if you wanted to know who was the fastest person in the world, you had the Guinness Book of World Records, right? Like, that's why this thing came into play, right? Well, the internet comes around.
Yeah.
And so now we have more knowledge at our fingertips than we've ever had before.
Right. Chris's world record, book of world records, and Toby's book of world records, yeah, which now might conflict, and there's no final official. Yeah.
Now we have Gen AI, which is just a really good storyteller.
Yeah. A very confident storyteller too, right?
Right. Very confident. And so the expectation of the humans doing the work, it's for them to almost match the cognitive bias of what's expected. And so what's interesting is the throughputs haven't changed. Like strategy hasn't changed, or maybe it has changed. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, I think Gen AI will change a lot of things. It's going to revolutionize coding. It's going to revolution a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I think in larger orgs, unless they're strategically aligned, it will create a lot of sinews that just go out and look for solutions.
Yeah.
Like it'll replace slow thinking, slow, methodical craft, like our ability to be craftsmen.
Chris, what's interesting about I love the word paradox that you used. I feel like you and I've talked about this, maybe even on the podcast. I did a lot of process reengineering on the heels of Sarbanes-Oxley compliance work. That legislation was introduced. And as it was a result of the Enrons and the MCIs, just horrible corporate malfeasance, people doing wildly inappropriate and very modern things. They were just, you know, 20 some years early in their misbehavings. And so the thought was it's not enough to report financial numbers. We have to understand whether or not we trust the underlying process. And the only way we can trust a process is if we can verify it.
Yep.
And so a lot of this work meant, you know, now having somebody else review the task before you finalize it. And so in the accounting world, they called it park and post. Someone could make a journal entry, but someone else would have to review it and then they would post it. So we had two sets of human eyes on it.
Yep.
Well, we talked about paired programming once upon a time, and that was this revolutionary new way of, instead of having one person code and a second do QA, it's live collaborative QA. But again, two humans, two sets of eyes. Yep. So now in this world of AI, we have sometimes half of a human paying attention and randomly throwing prompts in, not doing that strong editorial work, which as every writer knows is probably the most painful part of writing, is having to go back and edit your own stuff. But then we throw it over to somebody else without a second review and we treat it as fact. So now generative AI allows us, so much of this, you know, constructing something with limited prompts, whether it's the Gen AI, other components, we're letting the machines do a lot of this thinking or this production, but that we've removed some of this scrutiny, some of the rigor around the throughput and really asking, did it create what I believe was requested?
Yeah.
And so to your point, it almost feels like not only are we not hitting the expectation, but almost we're surrendering the verify under the belief that this system is self-verifying. And so we just simply trust what's being produced out of these chatbots. So it is alarming as we think about faster code. We think about faster social media posts and image creation. And it causes a dissonance, you know.
Yep.
Somebody hands it over with confidence, but it doesn't meet any of our expectations and it feels off. We can't always...
Well, and think about, like, we're already inundated with emails. We're already inundated with tasks. We're inundated with tools. And Gen AI is just another input into our already crowded brain.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't, like, that leads to burnout. It's just the way that it works. Like, there's no way around it.
Well, so, Chris, I think that the burnout is the common theme, that bad process, that's how it typically manifests, right? We're like, time out. Yep. I'm going to walk away because it's blown my mind. Yep. So if we put on our process debt lens, we realize this AI train is not stopping.
Oh, no. And it shouldn't.
And so just like it was with the internet, and all of a sudden it's like, I only had three phone messages on my machine when I came back to my physical phone. And somebody says, yes, but I sent you a 700 emails that you never read. We also need to now learn, how do we consume what AI is generating? So what are these thoughts about avoiding burnout and much higher inputs, higher expectation of outputs, but our throughput, our ability to be present to the work and really manage it in a way that we can own it and have some accountability for it? What are some thoughts that you've been kind of stirring around or sitting with?
Yeah. And we don't have time today. Maybe we should talk about this in the next podcast, but I just finished Cal Ford's book on slow productivity.
Yeah.
And and I think that this is where this thought really came from, which is like, if you look at most systems that are successful, they're almost always a pull system.
Mm.
The work is done and then they pull the work in. Right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, knowledge workers are almost exclusively pushed work upon. Right. So the boss asks for something, your colleague asks for something, you have a report, like almost everything is just added.
Right.
And so with Gen AI, like the challenge is it just becomes easier to add.
Mm.
And there's only 24 hours in a day. And I had a colleague once that said, how's it going? He's like, well, I'm only working part time, only 12 hours a day. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And what a horrible scenario to find yourself in. Like,
oh yeah.
I know that there's days where even on the longest day, a very productive day, I'm super aware of the 17 things that I've left unfinished.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, I think the more productive I am, the more aware I am of what's unfinished because I've got them all organized. That's why I was able to be so productive. So
yeah. And I think if we I think that's what gets lost is like, if we can slow down and do the one thing and do the one thing well, and it aligns corporately with where you're headed, then like magical things can happen.
Yeah.
But if it misses, right. Or if everybody's just doing all the things because they can do it faster, like not everything needs a sports car, right? They're not out farming the fields with a Ferrari. There's a John Deere tractor out there having a grand old time.
That's right. I love the right tool for the job.
Yeah.
You said something a second ago that I want to go back to as well. And it's the one thing for the day. That makes sense if you operate in a world with a single stakeholder that you're serving on a given day. I think a lot of us, whether you're inside of one business serving multiple stakeholders, not just your manager, but maybe a downstream team, depending on the jobs you're working in, with so many stakeholders. And I've not read this latest Cal Newport book. So now I'm going to have to add that to my podcast or my Audible series.
Here you go.
Notice I didn't say book on tape, which is still very much the 1900s of me. So
yeah, I like
very specific about Audible, I guess now. So, so slow productivity, what is your thought about how you're serving multiple stakeholders? You and I talk about this a lot, whether it's direct manager, manager's manager, executive over the team, upstream, downstream. How have you synthesized that idea of getting super prioritized around the day?
I mean, Toby, I just told you earlier I was overwhelmed. So I have not been doing it very well.
Let me apply some more uncomfortable pressure.
I do think, we can kind of wrap it up here, but I do think that what I'm going to take away from just these thoughts are, I have to get very clear on what the outputs are, so that I'm not wasting time on useless outputs or useless assets.
Yeah.
And so if my stakeholders, be that my clients, my customers, or even my boss or boss's bosses, if they're not interested in seeing a something that I create or I craft, then really it's just me kind of buying into that corporate stress that we think is responsible. And it's just chewing us up.
Yeah. Chris, I love that. It also kind of speaks to the alignment piece. If what you're producing doesn't make sense to aligned, stakeholders that should have the same interests and desire the same outcome, then that's probably a different conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
I apologize for throwing some more overwhelm fuel on the fire. Let's talk about really sensitive topics in future sessions. What else is creating stress? Yeah, let's put the weight on.
No, I mean, I think it's good because I think you get to these points and you have to decide what you can control and get very clear. And I think you know, if you talk to people like, well, I don't talk to people, but if you read stuff like Buffett or Gates,
sure,
and they're like, successful people are focused.
Yeah.
Right. And that yet, like when you're oftentimes like, that's a miss for me corporately, right? Is like, I lack that focus because it's like, cause it can change so often.
Yeah.
And AI is not making that any easier, but
I love that.
All right. We finished another. We'll catch you next week, man.
The input output throughput.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
See ya.